All right, everybody, Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. All right, so I have got a lot of requests in regards to the Biden vaccine mandate. I have a lot of individuals in the military or veterans who watch my content. I have a lot of people on active duty right now that this video is basically geared towards. Oh, I didn't see you there. I'm reading this book, and it quite possibly is the best book ever written because I'm in it! Winning! If you want to know the rate of return on dating women, you need to buy the Book of Numbers. There's a link in the description, you know, down there in the penis area. Meet Gazer! All right, now first I want to say, I have been a victim of forced vaccination while I was in the military. When you first come in and you go through basic and AIT, you literally, I don't know, you get a couple dozen, maybe three dozen shots, and a large majority of them are done in the first 2 weeks of service, and then you get a few more boosters and so forth while you're in AIT. At least that's how it was for me. But these were all vaccines that had been on the market for quite some time. You know, measles, mumps, rubella, tetanus, chicken pox, smallpox, probably another 11 or 12 more. So I'm not like averse to vaccinations because they do work. My problem is this, is, you know, the Army is a place you volunteer. We have a volunteer Army. It's not draft. I literally walked through hoops of fire to get to the Ranger Battalion. And while I was there, there was at least half a dozen of these tests for experimental horseshit, which I refused to participate in. Literally, I would tell my platoon sergeant, not doing it. I would tell the first sergeant, I'm not doing it. I came here to be an airborne ranger, not to be a fucking guinea pig. And for the most part, they just said, oh, who would that drive on? But where that went south was for the first Gulf War, they wanted everyone to get anthrax vaccinations, which had not been cleared by the FDA. And they wanted everyone to take these special nerve gas pills that, you know, kept you from being affected with nerve gas. When they gave me the nerve gas pills, I asked them how they worked. They said they didn't know. All they know is they block the nerve gas from, you know, fucking with your nerves. Well, at the time, I knew how nerve gas worked, and those pills would require tinkering with the mechanics of your nerves. So I took the pills and promptly threw them away. I never ingested not one of them. But I had to get the anthrax shots, which I fucking absolutely despised and I hated. And I tried to get out of it. I did, but I was, you know, at that time I was an E5, so it didn't quite work out for me. And I gotta get rid of that. It didn't work out. Then I, you know, got off active duty, and you know, went to the Special Forces Reserve, 12th Group Special Forces. You know, and I continued to get shots and blah blah blah. Well, when the second Gulf War kicked off in 2002-2003 in Iraq, they brought back out the anthrax shots again, and I resisted those to the nines as well. And when I became the first sergeant of my National Guard unit in Iraq, I basically never had not one soldier receive any more anthrax shots while under my watch. They weren't approved. Everyone hated it. Got it. Now, here I am retired, medically retired. They retired me in 2008. All right. Now, since 2000,
in 3, when I got the second anthrax shot, and when I medically retired in 2018. I know probably 100 to 150 soldiers who had to get out of the service because of being medically disqualified. All right, now, it's fairly common for people to develop type 2 diabetes over an extended period of time because it takes a while to break that body mechanic within your body. It is very rare for type 1 diabetes to hit individuals, you know, north of 25, all willy-nilly all of a sudden. And I knew probably a couple of dozen guys who developed type 1 diabetes and were insulin dependent, and they were north of 25. I know another couple dozen, maybe 20 guys who developed insulin-dependent type 2 diabetes. All right, so that is weird. That shouldn't happen, you know, to men in their late 20s, early 30s, or mid-30s. You know, you might see type 2 diabetics develop, you know, late 30s and beyond. But usually type 2 diabetes is usually reserved for late 40s, usually in the 50s and 60s. If you don't have it by the time you in your late 60s, you're probably not going to get it. All right, now, I thought that was odd. I knew probably eight to 12 other guys who had all of a sudden just chronic kidney disease, had to get discharged. A couple of them went directly to dialysis. I lost track of all of those guys except two, and those two guys are dead now. All right, so I get medically retired. I got to go do my thing through the VA, and they hand me a flyer. And it, basically at the top it says, did you receive the anthrax vaccine? Ask about this. And some of those effects of the anthrax are MS, multiple sclerosis, ALS, which is way worse than MS and is almost always fatal, and it hits you relatively quickly. Tumors all over the body. I had one cut off my spine. Okay, you know, and then you have the diabetes, type 1 and type 2, and there's all kinds of other blood disorders and nerve disorders. I can't remember everything on that list. And there was a big backlash after, you know, they were forcing the anthrax vaccine in 2002, 3, 4. And I think it went all the way to like 2005. And they were forced to stop doing it because it was not approved through the FDA. It had not gone through all of the steps needed. So, yeah. What a bunch of bullshit. So, you know, I am very averse to receiving an experimental vaccine that, you know, diddles your, you know, RNA or DNA and causes, basically hijacks your own internal systems to make these antibodies. All right, now, in my personal opinion, the antibodies that are made from this, you know, vax, the spike proteins, they don't know what other systems these are going to affect. They do not know how long your body will continue to make these spike proteins after you receive this injection. All right, there has been a lot of people who have died after receiving this vaccine. And a lot of people who are permanently maimed and sick because of it. All right. Now, I shouldn't say permanently because, you know, they just started this like 8-9 months ago. So who knows? 2 or 3 years from now, they could recover their health. But yeah, I'm not a big fan. And the fact that the vaccine has, you know, graphene in it, which is also a toxin. Why that's in there, I have no idea. I am not a person that makes this shit. All I know is my ESP is telling me the motivations behind this vaccine are not for your well-being. Especially all of this craziness going on over an illness with a 99.7% chance of survival. You know, it's very similar to the flu, which we've been dealing with for years. I received a lot of emails from soldiers saying, what should I do to try to get out of this vaccine bullshit? All right, first of all, I am not JAG and I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving you legal advice. I am an NCO who has sat in on hundreds of counselings. I've been counseled myself dozens, if not 50 times in my career. I know how this works. Now, I have some individuals out there who shall remain nameless who sent me the official vaccine basically counselings for the Army. They're very similar across all the branches. And when they first brought in the whole counseling thing, it was designed to point out faults and how to fix them. And it turned into, you know, once the attorneys get involved, it just turns into this huge nut roll. And, yeah, so we're going to go over this one here. There's three of these. So let's see how we can get this opened here. Okay. All right, now what you're seeing here is the top page of here down the DA form 4856, which is the official counseling form for the United States military. This is Department of the Army. Each one has their own. All right, so you start off here with the developmental counseling for all you guys out there who have not been counseled before. It'll have your name, it'll have your rank, the date of the counseling, and your unit designator here, and the name of the person counseling you. All right, now they give you the purpose in this block, why they're doing it. This one here is notification of failure to obey COVID-19 vax requirements in accordance with Secretary of Defense Memorandum for Mandatory Coronavirus Disease 2019. Okay, so this is the reason. Now this is the key points down here. Now you'll see this comes in several different portions. Down here at the bottom, this is always called the in additions, and this is the whip me, spank me, scare you language. So what they're saying here, on 25 August, blah, blah, Department of Defense issued memorandum, mandatory coronavirus vaccinations. Okay, they're basically restating what was up in here. Okay, all soldiers are required to be vaccinated no later than the mandatory vaccination date of 15 November 2021. Okay, and then they're basically saying here, they'll fill this in on blah, blah date. You are notified of this and you are counseled on the deadline. So they're basically here, they're telling you the injection's coming and we're notifying you it's coming. And then right here, if you fail to obey the lawful order, break. In addition, this is some of the shit they could do to you. Number one, let's see. That behavior for which he or she has been counseled may result in punishment under UCMJ, which is in Article 15. All right, now if you're in your first enlistment and you're not reenlisting, Article 15s mean fuck all, okay? All right, so if they slam you, they'll take two ranks, put you on extra duty for 3 months, and they take, your pay for 2 months. If you're ETSing, so what, comma, you don't fucking care. All right? I mean, the worst they could do is break you down to E1, and if you're going to ETS anyway, if you have a DD-214 and it says honorable, they can fuck off. That if the failure continues, separation under provision AR 623-200 or 600-8-4 may be initiated. And these are administrative separations. All right, they're not a big deal. All right, now, what most people don't know, if, you know, for you to get administratively separated from the military, especially if you appeal and drag your feet, could take in excess of 2 years. Okay, I have a feeling they're going to have their hands full with so many people refusing the vaccines that's a safe gamble right there. And especially if you sit down, you know, for the counseling and you say, hey, look, just fill out a bar reenlistment on me. I'm not getting the fucking vaccine and I'm not fucking reenlisting. Chances are, because of the backlog, that's what's going to happen. And you're just going to be non-deployable and you're just going to, you know, sit tight until you ETS. And I can almost guarantee, well, I'm not going to guarantee you. As a betting man, I am thinking that this is going to change how the Army operates moving forward, because you're going to see a lot of people getting out of the service and refusing to enlist. Which, by the way, if you are a civilian thinking of enlisting in the military, with what they're doing now, it is not worth it. It is not worth the education benefits. It's just not worth it anymore. Because there are a lot of side effects from this, this COOF injection, and we don't know any of the side effects moving forward because it's been almost completely untested. All right, that if separated prior to ETS, he or she should receive a honorable general or other than honorable discharge for current terms of service. Okay, other than honorable is very hard to get, especially if you appeal. If they're going to give you an honorable discharge, okay, cool. You know, stall it till the end of your enlistment, get your GI Bill, get the fuck out. General discharge, you're going to fight to have it converted to honorable, which you can do, but there are some hoops to go through. And other than honorable, it's pretty hard to fix. Okay, and I really don't know if there's a lot of problems. I think other than honorable, you have a hard time with VA benefits and so forth. Okay, let's see. This basis, each characterized of service, the discharge certificates received for each and the character of service will become part of your permanent record. Okay, how many times have you heard the permanent record? They've been pulling this permanent record horse shit since I was in grade school. All right. Unless you get convicted of a felony, there is no such thing as a permanent record. All right. And if you receive an honorable discharge and they give you like some crazy reenlistment code, which basically keeps you from reenlisting, so what? You're not planning on reenlisting anyway. Who cares? All right, and a lot of times, if the National Guard in your state is hurting, and a few years down the road, this goes away, and you want to continue service in the National Guard, most of the time, depending upon the codes, and I've seen a lot of people with egregious reenlistment codes be able to come into the National Guard, and then later on, go back in active duty. So you can get around it. All right, now here's the scary stuff. The possible effects of each type of discharge would have a reenlistment, civilian employment, veteran benefits, and related matters. All right, so what? That a general discharge could cause loss of civil service retirement credits. Okay, so what? And what they mean here is a lot of people get out of the military, they'll do 4 years, and then they'll work in federal civil service, and they can buy back that 4 years and apply it to their retirement. If it's a general discharge, you won't be able to do that unless you get it upgraded to honorable. That may have changed when I went through all of stuff with my soldiers a few years ago. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not JAG and I'm not an attorney. I'm an NCO who's counseled people before, and the whip me, spank me, scare me language usually trips up a lot of soldiers, because like, oh god, and they put this big block of shit here to scare you. That's for the most part, that's really all it is. Now if you legitimately fucked up, killed somebody, did a lot of damage, or purposely did some fucked up shit, then this becomes a little bit more scary. But, refusing a vax, this isn't nearly as scary as they're trying to make it, sound off. All right, so, what are you going to do? Let's see. Other than honorable discharge, enrollment reduction to the lowest rank, loss of payment of accrued leave, loss of all benefits administered by the Veteran Affairs and federal state agencies. All right, so we want to stick away from other than honorable. They're going to scare you with this. But for the most part, for you to get other than honorable requires like a courts martial or something really serious. All right, and with the amount of people that they're going to try to slam fuck with this, they don't have the resources to do this to a couple hundred thousand people across all the services. They just don't. Okay, that separation prior to ETS may preclude enlistment in any component of the armed forces. Active duty. You can, get around this for the National Guard. That separation prior to ETS may cause loss of entitlements, education benefits, paid money into the College Army Fund. Okay, separation prior to ETS may require repayment of unearned bonuses for reenlistment, blah, blah, blah. Okay, if you get a $30,000 enlistment for coming in to do a certain job and then they kick you out after a year, you might have to pay that money back. It all depends. You got to read your individual contracts. A lot of them, the enlistment bonus goes away. The repayment goes away usually 24 months after you start the job. Okay, and even then it's prorated, so this might not be a big deal. Let's see. Okay, that is unlikely that any attempt to have the characterization of service upgraded would be successful. I'm going to be honest, this is bullshit. You can upgrade a general to an honorable. I've seen it done many, many times. This is put in here to scare the shit out of you. Less than honorable is very hard to get. I don't think refusing the vax is going to come to that level. They're probably going to slam a few people to try to scare everyone into compliance. But this is up to you to stick to your guns or not. Here we go. 12. That he, she is encouraged to make every reasonable effort to ensure compliance with the 15 November deadline. And then they want you to initial down here. All right. Typically, they have you initial so they can prove you read and understood what was going on. Now, if you sit down to get counseled by your chain of command, you can literally push it away and go, I don't feel comfortable unless I have a JAG representative here to explain everything to me. And for the most part, depending upon your command, they have to stop, bring in somebody that represents JAG to walk you through and talk you through everything, so you can stall it that way as well. And now here's your plan of action. This is basically what the command wants you to do to stay in compliance. And they want you to initial everything. They're going to read it all to you. Now, there's three of these, so we're going to go through the whole thing. Now, here at the bottom, you can type X disagree, and then you can write in your remarks, or you can write C attached, and you can staple a letter to it. Now, a lot of times that letter gets separated, and it's mysteriously never included when it goes before JAG or if you appeal anything. Okay, so you have to make sure you get a copy of everything. Make sure you flip it over and everything matches. Because I've seen them white out the disagree and then, X in the agree and then white out all your comments and then put that forward in your file. I've seen that happen. All right, don't be that guy. All right, so you can disagree with everything. All right, period. Now, here is the assessment part. When they get to the date, they're going to go, hey, did he meet all the stuff? Did he do what needs to be done? Yes or no? And then the counselor signs it, and then you sign it if you didn't comply. It's just that simple. Let's move over to another one here. Today we're going to go through all of this because this is going to be super long. So I'm just going to go through the vaccine portion or the counseling portions. And then we'll move on to some other stuff for a second layer video. All right, now here's another one. You'll see right here, same thing, name, date, blah, blah, blah. Now they're talking about the refusal here. Okay, now they're gonna go, this changes a little bit of the verbiage. All right, now I'm not gonna go through all of this stuff down here again. It's usually the same, whip me, spank me, scare the shit out of you language. Okay, they have the fail to obey, all of that shit in here. All right, so this is basically the same one. They're just doubling up on you. Okay, this is your notification. All right, this is a little bit bigger here. This is the same whip me, spank me language. Let's shrink this up. This is the same whip me, spank me language that we have on all three. Okay, like effective immediately in accordance with Department of Defense letter policy directing mandatory vaccination. All right, so when they sit you down for this, you go, I need to have a copy of this Secretary of Defense policy letter. Okay, if they don't have it with you just say, hey, we can continue this counseling when you have that verbiage and you leave. They can get pissed off all they want. And, when they get the verbiage, they call you back in and you can sit there and go, thanks for getting the verbiage, but I don't see my JAG representative here. I'm not going to review this until I have him here to explain this to me because this could be life and death. This is very important. They really can't say no. As a senior NCO, somebody who's a master of dodging shit, that's one of the ways you can do it with avoiding a lot of negative blowback. All right, again, more of the bullshit here where they want you to initial. You can disagree. You can disagree with everything. All right. A lot of times they'll tell you, yeah, well, you have to hit agree because this is just proving that we gave you the counseling. That's absolutely incorrect. It's not. Okay. You initialing and signing is proof they gave you the counseling. Agreeing and disagreeing has nothing to do with it. That's another trick I've seen done when I was sitting next to guys who were getting counseled. That they literally said, yeah, agreeing to the session is just basically saying that we counseled you. No, it's not. You agree with what's in the counseling statement, or you don't. You disagree, you give your reasons, you can type in your see attached. All right. So now we've covered the counseling. Let's just see what we got here. All right, now here's a list, a PDF list we have for attorneys that are basically representing anti-vaxxers here. All right, now I'm going to try to get this put on the main website so you can go to redonkulous.com and download it yourself. And you can start calling attorneys. Now, this is alphabetical order. I believe there's at least one in each state. If you don't find any in your state, call around to attorneys in states around yours and see if they know anybody that can do it. Okay. Now, if you're in the military and your home of record is, say, Illinois, all right, and you're not in Illinois, say you're in Colorado, you can use an attorney from your home state because your home of record is in Illinois, and you can use an attorney from Colorado, or you can get yourself one of those military attorneys that represents solely, soldiers and see what they can do for you. Okay. But, here it is right here. And this is an old list. This list is growing by the day because this backlash is, we've now moved from neutral and we're switching from first to second gear. And it's still growing. It's going to get crazy when this thing gets into third gear and you start have federal judges all over the country here, basically ruling on this. It's going to go absolute fucking crazy. Okay, now here's another just a generic letter to said boss about getting the vaccination in your place of employment. Up here it says, Dear Boss, and then here's the other verbiage you can attach to that, and you can cut and paste and change the verbiage to your own situation. Now, I'm probably going to put this letter in you know, basically the Props Prepper newsletter, so everyone can get up to speed on that. I do have a counseling from another lieutenant colonel from the United States Army who basically did the same thing that was covered in by the Marine lieutenant colonel who basically resigned his commission and all the other crazy shit. So, I mean, it's happening across the board. There's just not getting as much publicity. And I will try to cover that in the next one. So, with that being said, my heart goes out to all of those individuals who need to make the hard choices if you're going to get the COOF shot or not. In my professional opinion, there are a lot of negative side effects. Okay, and you're just going to have to either talk to your attorney, talk to your doctor, or do some soul searching whether or not you are going to get the hot shot or not. I have seen a lot of these side effects. You know, we're going to see, in my ESP, my ESP is telling me we're going to see, and they're going to reclassify what happens after the vax and the injuries to basically, you know, they're going to just call them vaccine injuries, and they're going to try to, you know, drive on and just treat it as a speed bump. And there's people out there who have lost limbs, who have had strokes, heart attacks, you know, blood clots in their lungs, blood clots in other portions of their body. All right. Yeah. A large majority of people, they get it. They're fine. I gotcha. But the VIRS database, and they stopped, they basically doctored it up towards the end of July, had the deaths listed between 12 and 13,000, and that's the end of July, beginning of August, for the COOF vax, you know, deaths. Now, to put this into perspective, that is more vax deaths than all of the deaths reported from all of the other vaccines, I believe, in the past 15 or 20 years. So they're giving the COOF vax and has killed more people in less than a year than all of the vaccines put together in the past 15 to 20. Just let that sink in. You don't want to be that guy who is bedridden, because you know if you're in the military and you get bedridden or hurt and you have to get out, they're not going to give you 100% for a vaccine injury. You're going to have to fight for your benefits, fight for all your medical coverage. You're going to have to fight for everything. It's a lot better to have your health and move on to do something different, thrive, and do well in life than be an invalid.